Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Dak.
And we are just super chilling it right now.
Yeah.
Like we have, so if you joined us last week, we recorded, well, we mentioned that we were at this camp.
Youth retreat.
We're chaperoning the camp for our daughters, and we're here. We're in our little cabin, which is nice, and it's been a nice couple of days here. And just, we were just chilling and just were like, man, just kind of reminiscing about some good old days at Disney, some of our favorite times, and some of the things that kind of struck maybe our heartstrings.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. And so we're like, hey, dude, we just need to get the mics out and start recording this because this is too good not to talk about, you know, those Disney moments that make you a little emotional, little verklempt.
Yeah. And we've already cried. So I'm not sure we're going to cry during the recording.
Yeah. I hope not.
No, but I think, I mean, we're two dads. You know, Randy's a third dad. Randy is our other host who hasn't, who's not with us tonight. But you know, we're all dads, right? Randy's got boys, we've got girls, and we experience Disney in different ways. And there are moments that we've been able to see from within our own family, from a third person perspective, watching other people experience Disney, that really just, they're really tender moments.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, some people ask us, why do you guys love Disney so much? And it's like, I mean, where do we start?
Yeah,
you know,
I think...
You know what I'm saying?
I think you're right. I think... And we just had some friends go... they're a young couple. They have a young family. And, you know, they're in the middle of going to Disney. And the mom is texting us about, you know, a moment. And she's like, okay, I get it. I get why you guys love Disney so much. Like... And she's got it. She's caught the bug and she's ready to try and plan another trip.
It took her one day.
Yeah, yeah. One day. And she was in it, which is very similar to my story. I was very anti going and it's too much this and too costly here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think we were maybe 3 or 4 hours in and I turned to my wife and I'm like, dude, we got to figure out how we can get back here.
Yeah.
And our trip wasn't even over yet.
And people are so quick to say, I can't do Disney. I'm anti-Disney. It's too expensive or whatever the reason may be. But it's like, you know what? And I will say this until the day I die. I know you feel the same way. I know Randy feels the same way. It's like, you just got to give it a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's only one trip that you do your entire lifetime, you got to give it a shot.
Yeah, for sure. It's something, it's like an American rite of passage, right?
Yeah.
Like it's something that you should do.
Like visiting the Grand Canyon.
Yes,
You know, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
It's going to Disney. It's a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let's get into some moments that we kind of picked out that we thought were good moments. We kind of talked about some of these before we hit the record button. But now that we actually have, you know, the mics in front of us, I'd say one of the most emotional moments is just your first time. I mean, we're talking about people going for their first time. So I think this is one for a lot of people, especially if it's something where you've planned it out. It's been a goal of your family that, hey, we're going to work up, we're going to save, we're going to do whatever it takes to get there. And that first time you walk through the gates and see the castle for the first time, that can get a little emotional, a little teary-eyed for a lot of
Absolutely.
People being able to experience that, you know, that first touch of magic.
Well, and you know, especially as a kid growing up watching a lot of Disney movies, you know, the introduction screen where it has the silhouette of the castle and the Walt Disney logo and just the music starts to play. And then you see that in real life, like you said, it does evoke an emotion that's like, oh my gosh, it actually is real.
Yeah.
That castle is real. It's really big. Well, the one in Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe not so. The one in Disney.
Maybe not Disney.
But we love the Disneyland castle. Right. So, no, I think seeing the castle for the first time, and let's be honest, every time.
Yeah.
I mean, it just hits. But that first time is definitely something special. Man, it's just like, dude, I mean, it's unlike any other building in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
I think just because it kind of allows you, if you let it, it allows you to, it's kind of like your first signal that, okay, I can let my guard down a little bit. I can let my emotions come out. I can be a kid again. I can, you know, dream and fantasize and live in this imaginary world, right? Yeah. And it's just that iconic symbol that, okay, this is all my childhood cartoon watching and movie watching and everything from, you know, Mickey Mouse to Old Yeller to Pirates to whatever, right? Whatever it was that grabbed you as a kid and made Disney a nostalgic thing, that castle seems to encompass it all in one iconic symbol. Yeah. And so I think that, like you said, it creates a lot of emotion for people when they see it for that first time.
Yeah. And listen, you're never too big. You're never too much of a man to cry.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to get a little tear flowing at Disney. So,
well, I'll tell you, the next one on my list is absolutely a tearjerker as a dad. And that is character meet and greets.
Oh, dude.
And not for myself, obviously. I don't think I'm that attached to any one Disney character where I would get emotional about them. I think some people will. Like
absolutely.
If you love Goofy and you get to meet him for the first time, that can be an emotional experience. But I think for me personally, it was the very first time our girls, and I think I've told this story on here before, but the very first time our girls met Cinderella, and they just, their eyes and just their amazement and their wonder of seeing that character for the first time was so emotional for me. It was almost like them getting to see Santa Claus at a department store or something like that for the first time. And they're just caught up in the magic and the wonder of it all. And it's very emotional. And they're like turning to you. I remember my girls were turning to me and they're like, Dad, that's really her. That's really Cinderella. And I was like, yeah, it is. And I'm like, you know, wiping the tears out of my eyes. And it's just so magical. So, again, it's so innocent and so pure and dreamlike, right? Where you just like, wow, this is cool. Like, it, again, it lets you let your guard down and be a kid again.
Yeah, and I remember, and this was many, many years ago when our kids were littler. And I don't know if this is still the same because I'm not sure exactly what they've done to the place recently. But, I mean, this is at Magic Kingdom with a Mickey and Minnie meet and greet.
Oh, yeah.
As you walk into the right.
Yes.
So this was years ago. You know, my two youngest got to meet Minnie. Mm-hmm. And we've got video of it. And it's like, to your point, it's, you know, hey, it's Minnie. We get to meet Minnie. And it's like kind of reserved at first.
Sure,
like standing back, like, is it okay if I run up and hug her? And then it's like, oh, it's totally fine. And Minnie just opens her arms and gives, you know, Morgan and Riley these huge hugs. And it's like, you know, we're taking pictures and I'm like, wiping the tears away from my eyes. I'm like, this is like what it's all about. Like this is as real as it's ever going to get for them.
For sure.
You know, and it's just like their innocence in their eyes is just like, we just got to meet Minnie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, dude, I think the meet and greets are such, dude, you hit it on, nail on the head, man. This is like one of those things as a parent, like take them. People say, don't take your kids when they're young. No, you got to take them when
they're
young.
You have to.
Because that's when it's most real to them.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's, you know, that's the pro tip, if you will, for the day is just don't wait. I think so many parents worry about, well, they won't remember it.
Who
cares?
Yeah, who cares?
You will. Yeah. Like, you will remember it. And you will be able to have those moments. And if you get the opportunity to take them back again as they get older, then they will. But it's so inexplicably, it's so hard to put like words to the emotions that are there when your kids are seeing those characters that they love. Like they've watched them, you know, every morning and every, you know, day sometimes on some of the princess videos. I know some of our girls, man, they would just, they'd watch Frozen, stop it and watch it again. And it was just like, you'd see the same video on for like days on end, over and over and over again. Yeah. And so for them to be able to meet that character, it's so special.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
For sure.
So kind of along those lines, I think another opportunity for that, maybe not as directly interactive, is parades.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think parades are kind of similar in that you get to see a lot of those characters all in one moment. And so I think that that gives you a lot of opportunities to again, have that, again, maybe not a character direct interaction, but it is really cool when the characters, like if you're on the curb and the characters come up to you and they'll kind of like perform a little bit in front of you, or they're on the floats and they point at you and you know they're pointing at you.
Yes.
It's pretty exciting and pretty emotional, especially, again, especially for kids, yeah. Right? Like, I'm not excited if Captain Hook is like, you know, pointing at me with his hook, but if my kid's a huge Peter Pan and Captain Hook fan, then that.
But what about that time during that Christmas party that you and I were at where Ariel pointed at you?
Yeah. No, no such thing.
I've got a great video. So we went, I took my two youngest during COVID. Well,
oh yeah.
This was probably, you know, they shut down, they reopened things that thing with that June or July of that year. We ended up going like in January. So the park was, I mean, it was empty, right? Social distancing, everybody was masking yeah. up still. And we were watching one of the daytime parades. And dude, to your point, like, well, since nobody was there, I think they were operating like at 25% capacity.
Yes.
So the parade route, I mean, people were all spread out. So it was almost like the characters were, they got to point to everybody
right.
along the parade route. And I got this great video. I'm behind my daughter, Riley, right? And she runs out really to as far as she can go without getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And she kind of crouches down and she waves. And I want to say it's Belle that's on the wow. parade float. And Belle looks at her and just kind of waves right back at her. And I'm just like, man, that was special. That was so special to me.
Dude, you just unlocked a memory for me. I know I've shared this one as well. It's like we were at the Crystal Palace post or pre-hurricane.
Mm.
So it was right before a hurricane was supposed to hit Disney World. We happened to be there. And so the day before the hurricane comes in, the parks were just empty. I mean, ghost town empty. And so we went to Crystal Palace for a character dining experience. And in there is like Tigger and Pooh and Eeyore are your main characters that come around at the tables. And these poor characters had no one to play with. And so I have video on my phone of them with Tigger, and he's literally dancing around the restaurant with them, playing with them, you know, singing songs with them, and just probably spent a good half an hour, 45 minutes with them, which you will never get to have that. We'll never get to have that experience again. But again, it's one of those moments where as a dad, like you say, you're kind of getting teary eyed and you're just like, this is so special. What a wonderful experience. So shout out to all of our Disney character friends, that do that.
You know, what's funny is like, we've kind of not, I want to say we harp on the parades, but we don't do parades anymore as we've gotten older.
Yeah.
Right. But that is one of those core memories looking back that we used to do the parades all the time because our kids love waving to the characters and having the characters wave back at them. So again, parades are great.
Yeah. All right. Next one we talked about this. So this one was a little bit, I don't want to say controversial between the two of us, but for some people going to One Man's Dream or, hearing Walt Disney's voice and seeing him talk about creating the parks or, you know, being involved in the parks for a lot of people. And there's moments in the parks where you get to hear this. I think that, again, it creates an emotion because people feel a connection and a tie to Walt Disney. I personally, I admire him for who he is and what he did and just think that he's one of those iconic figures in American history that, you know, literally changed the world that we live in. But there's not an emotional tie there, so I don't get emotional, but I think it's cool to listen to his voice.
Yeah, so to hear his voice is like, it just takes me back to my childhood.
Yeah.
And I think, again, going back to, hey, why is it that you guys love Disney so much? Well, there's a very specific interview that he did a long time ago where he talks about why he created Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just, I'm going to try to play this and see if this comes through on the recording.
young, and Saturday was always Daddy's day with the two daughters. So we'd start out and try to go someplace with, you know, different things, and I would take them to the merry-go-round, and I took them different places, and as I'd sit there while they rode the merry-go-round, did all these things, I'd sit on a bench, you know, eating peanuts, I felt that there should be something built, some kind of an amusement enterprise built where that the parents and the children could have fun together. So that's how Disneyland started. Well, it took many years. It was a whole period of maybe 15 years developing. I started with many ideas, threw them away, started all over again. And eventually it evolved into what you see today as Disneyland. But it all started from a daddy with two daughters wondering where he could take them, where he could have a little fun with them too.
Man, that's great. I mean, that's really what it is all about. And yeah. We were talking about this just a second ago before we hit record, is like, this new Walt Disney animatronic that's coming into Disneyland is it part of the 70th?
It's part of the 70th, yeah.
I think that's going to invoke a lot of emotion for a lot of people because it's supposed to be so realistic and so they're using his voice somehow from, you know, previous recordings like that.
Yeah,
and
no artificially created voice. It's all original recordings of him that they pieced together to make whatever.
Sure. I think that that's going to be an emotional thing for a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get out there for the 70th. It will happen.
Yeah. It has to happen.
So I'm excited to see that. I don't think I'll get like emotional, like crying emotional, but I think it's going to be one of those like, wow.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
just like,
yeah.
Wow. They already build amazing animatronics at Disney. And to think that this is going to be the most advanced animatronic they've ever made is pretty special. So we'll see.
For sure. All right. Another one we talked about was, I think you can get emotional at Disney even watching other people experience Disney.
100%.
Whether they're experiencing it for the first time or the 100th time. We were talking about, you know, there's this new reel going around. I think it's Jasmine. And it's this little boy, he kneels down, or he doesn't kneel down. He comes running up. He's giving Jasmine a hug, and he's just not letting go. I mean, he's in the moment or whatever. And even Jasmine, the character, she's wiping away tears from your eyes. So you start to get like emotional. And I've just seen different things. Again, some of these characters and cast members are so special and so wonderful. It's hard not to get emotional about how much they care about what they do. I've seen some videos where, you know, deaf children are being signed to characters. Those are amazing, heart tugging. You know, of course, there's different videos and reels out there of people taking, you know, the one with the grandpa that goes and he's like 90 something years old, and it's his first time going to Disney.
Yeah.
And experiencing it, and you're just like, this is like emotional, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I've shared this before. I was watching the fireworks one night. I see a dad. He's got one daughter on the side of his hip, and she just kind of turns and puts her hand on his cheek, and she's having a moment. Dad turns and looks in her eyes, and he's having a moment, and I'm watching the whole thing, and I'm starting to have a moment. It's just like, this is what it's all about. Like, you know, again, going back to Walt's little recording there, it's all about families and people coming together, whatever that family dynamic looks like for you, and being able to experience these wonderful moments. And I think Disney does just, again, I know we've harped on this, Disney's done such a wonderful job of creating these opportunities to even exist in the first place, right? Not to say they can't exist other places. I can go camping with my girls and have wonderful experiences, but what I have found is that Disney just somehow has created that magic elixir that allows that, you know,
it's
moment to take place.
It's a magic potion or something.
I
mean, I'm with you. I don't know. It's got to be just a combination of all the, like, the 100 years of animation, the parks, the merchandise, the the IPs, just like it's all woven together in a way that it connects on a lot of different levels. It connects on sight, the smells, what you hear, how you taste things at Disney. Like it just, they're all interconnected, and it's like you just have these moments. And I think of, you mentioned the cast members who play the characters, and they're essentially trained, like, hey, if you are being hugged by somebody, like, you can't let go first.
Yeah.
You got the person who is doing the hugging has to let go first. And they're taught, like, you don't know what that person is going through.
Totally.
Like, that little kid that's hugging you for 5 minutes could have maybe just lost a parent. Could just be that he's just happy to see you and he wants to keep hugging you because he doesn't know when he's going to come back.
Yeah.
You just never know, right? And they just, to your point, they just do such an amazing job. And I don't know of any other place in the world where that is trained and taught and implemented in a way that, like a Disney.
Well, yeah, and you just opened up a thought that I hadn't thought about before when we were talking earlier, and that is that, you know, that Imagineering series, I think it's episode 5 or 6, I can't remember which one, where they talk about the tsunami in Tokyo.
You're gonna bring that up, man.
And I mean, again, you talk about watching it through a third person,
yeah,
or through the eyes of another individual.
Yeah.
And just the emotional release that some of those people got to have. And that guy's telling the story and he's like, you know, in Japan, nobody comes out and tells you, okay, it's okay to be done mourning and being sad.
Yeah.
No one says that. And so they open up Disney and it allows the country, Japan, to breathe again and just let those emotions out. And it's just, again, watching it through another person's, I can't watch that episode without getting teary-eyed. So emotional. It's so emotional to know all the pain and heartache that those people are going through, and then they go to Disney and they're able to
and of course they're showing video of the people entering the park and they're hugging the characters.
Yes.
And everybody's crying. And listen, I think you're right. It's episode 5, probably towards the middle end.
Yeah.
That might be the pinnacle of that series.
Yeah, I think
really
so.
Really tugging at the heartstring because, I mean, that tsunami and earthquake just
devastated
that area.
Yeah.
And just to see how Disney reacted, how they responded, they had to close the park, but it's like, no, we got to heal.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how to do it. We got to heal. So let's open the park back up. And they gave away all tons of free merchandise and just like, come in and let's heal together.
Yeah, you know? Totally. So, totally.
Man, another dude, that was deep, bro.
I think along those lines, you kind of touched on it earlier. There's a lot of sentimental connections for people at Disney. I think from a nostalgic standpoint, but I also think from a family standpoint. Yeah. I don't know how to say that. So what I mean by that is like you grow up going to Disney with someone special in your life, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, or children or whatever, and then life happens, right? And you go back to Disney and experience that moment again, but without this person now in your life. I think that can be very emotional for a lot of people, right? Like if I grew up going to Disney with grandpa and we rode Dumbo together all the time.
Yeah.
My next time on Dumbo is probably going to be an emotional experience, right? And but again, I think Disney creates an environment where that can be a happy, tearful, you know, moment. And it's totally accepted, right? And it, going back to the Tokyo story, it allows that some of that healing to start to take place, right? Mm-hmm. And it becomes very therapeutic, I think, for a lot of people to go back and experience those things again, you know, and heal that part of their lives, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I think there's probably a lot of people listening who have that kind of connection to some part of the parks. And maybe not even the parks. Maybe there's a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something along those lines where it's like, yeah, this is when, you know, we watched Bedknobs and Broomsticks together for the first
right.
time.
Yeah.
You know, me and my grandpa, or me and my dad, or me and my mom, or me and my brother or sister.
Yeah, for
sure. This was the movie that we watched as kids. And life happens, and, you know, you're watching that movie again, and just all those memories are flooding back like, oh, this was the great times I used to have with so-and-so. And, you know, even today, like we go to the parks today and it's like, you know, our kids are a little older, and it's like, man, I remember when we first started coming here, and 10, 12 years, 13, 14, 15 years ago. And I remember when my little Riley was itty bitty wearing her little Elsa dress, being 3 years old and just walking around the park, just not a care in the world, and just kind of watching her. And, you know, now she's, well, a little older than three.
Yeah.
You know, and just, yeah, I think that's a great, the sentimental connections that we make to Disney, whether it be parks, movies, or whatever, play a very special part in our lives.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think you said it as well. I think some of these movies lately, Pixar there was just knocking it out of the park for a while, if you pardon the expression, right? Where they were just really touching on some heavy emotional topics, but doing it in such a way that allows you to, you know, do some healing. But okay, last one I had, and then if you have any, I mean, let's end on a happy note, which is Happily Ever After. I'm going to lead with Happily Ever After, but I think for different strokes for different folks, I think a lot of people have emotional connections to World of Color or, you know, the Disneyland fireworks show or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, I think those shows and that form of entertainment invokes a lot of emotions. I cannot, you know, again, you said it before, I'm full-on dad, you know, like to be rough and roughhouse and all that stuff, and but I cannot make it through Happily Ever After without getting a little teary-eyed, a little, you know, emotional about, for whatever reason, right? When Tinkerbell comes out, it's just, it's crazy.
It's a culmination of like the music and the show, and it's like, boom, Tinkerbell's flying off the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, no, dude, I thought about this when you brought this up earlier. It's like, there are several moments, like, for example, I mean, Happily Ever After is one, but there are specific moments in that show.
Yes.
That trigger. I go back to Wishes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there are certain moments in Wishes that I'm like, okay, that's going to leave a mark. I've got these connections that I made a decade and a half ago. I've got connections that I'm making this year, right? It's all like part of this process, like that Disney has, this has been their goal. Like, hey, we're going to try to get you to come back over and over and over again. Why? How are we going to do this? Well, we're going to create these moments.
Yeah.
That, I mean, let's be honest. They're like, you brought it up. I mean, you can have moments outside of Disney. We all have them. But for whatever reason, Disney just seems to do really well at creating the environment to have these moments.
100%. You know? Yeah, I think you're right. And it's just such a fun place. I'll just wrap up my thoughts and close out. It's just, again, everything we talked about, you know, don't wait on it. Don't wait for your kids to get older. Don't wait because, you know, you and your grandpa used to go and you're afraid to go back because of the emotions that it'll bring. Whatever it is, I would say just go. It's so therapeutic and so healing. And from that side of it, and then from a happy side of it, it's so nostalgic and so wonderful that it just brings that joy into your life that you know, again, for me personally, it's just unreplicatable anywhere else from what I've experienced. Yeah. I love it.
I do too. And I don't know if I have much to add to that. I think that was a good closing, Dak. I think, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's been kind of hard to not get, I mean, I don't know if it comes through the recording, but I think both of us have been a little tinkering on the edge of emotion tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we have so many memories there, and I know people that are listening probably have a lot of their own that they're like, yeah, I remember this. I remember when that happened. And it's just a wonderful place. So
yeah. Well, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully it wasn't too emotional. But hopefully enjoyable.
Hopefully, and so, it was emotional.
Yeah, maybe a little. Maybe. Give us a like and a follow if you don't mind on all of your listening platforms that you may be going to. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what maybe some of your touching moments were at Disney.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until next week.
All right. Thanks, everyone.